like it. It's also like lyrics, like she's like, I've been to the red table.
Oh,
I am at the red table. That's what she says. She said, I had room to grow.
I've been putting work.
Yes.
I know myself. Still got room to grow. What a message from the youth.
What a message from that girl. How old is she?
I don't know.
I feel like she's like been like, okay, that feels right. I don't remember. I don't
Something
know.
Like that. I don't know.
And then somebody I have to know how the age of Willow Smith. Somebody write in, please.
Somebody write in. No.
We can't Google it.
Hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Blackboard Collective presents Justice and Juice. Yay.
Wow. Yeah. Wiz.
We got a little with vibrato. The riffs. Yeah.
He said juice.
From the Wiz today.
Beautiful.
As you might have heard, we are missing a leg once again. Our legs just keep falling off, y'all. We can't seem to get all our legs together in one sitting.
It's hard.
But Lasky Music, we miss you. I will expect a full remix of our Justice and Juice welcome from you the next time you're here.
Yes,
we just want a Justice and Juice solo from Lasky Music.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
I know. It'd be really good. Today I am drinking. I'm so tired, y'all. Like, it was one of those days where I had a super long day on, what's today? Friday. I had a super long day on Wednesday. And yesterday I kind of did nothing and then I slept for 12 hours. But it's like, you know how you sleep a bunch and then you still feel tired? Like, I almost, like, maybe slept too much. So I'm on that weird thing. But I have coffee. I have a grapefruit, a twist of grapefruit Topo Chico.
I love Topo Chico.
And I have a vat of water.
As yes. Say.
Fiji, what you drinking?
I love that for us. Well, I have two vats. I have a vat of coffee. This is the mug that I'm drinking out of. Size of my head.
Say?
It says namaste in bed.
Liar.
Namaste in bed. I'm not in bed, but I did do that all day. And then I have my water. And that's it. Just, you know, just keeping it cool. I do have a grapefruit sparkling water that I might bust out eventually, but, you know, we're going to stick with the two for now. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah, start off slow.
Yeah, yeah. Wiz, what you drinking?
Well, I've had plenty of coffee today, and so I'm now just drinking water.
I love that.
So
you've already had plenty of coffee?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, don't you drink coffee in the morning? I mean, what is...
It's still morning, is what I was saying.
Yeah, it's true. But I drink it first thing. I get up and it's like, I drink
You know, the
coffees.
Wiz gets up at like 6.
Yeah, that's true. He gets up at
Sometimes
I, get up at 7.
He like responds to me in like the group text or something because I'm 3 hours ahead of you guys. So I'll like text you at like 9 and be like, no one will talk back. And then
Wiz is like,
hey, here I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to sleep in more because we're making this movie on the weekends and I'm up till 2-3 a.m. and I still wake up at 6, which is not great. So I'm not really in my best sleep cycle.
My body is like that too. It doesn't matter when I go to bed, I'm going to wake up at 7. Sucks. So
bad.
That
has not happened to me.
Also, before we like really get into the other issues, let me tell you about an issue that nobody's talking about. Okay. There is a national Topo Chico shortage.
Oh my God, it's probably my fault.
I think it's my fault as well. Like, honestly, like I need them for my own survival. I buy them by the case. And so does my sister. And so that's why I ended up with the twist of grapefruit ones because the store is literally out of just like regular Topo Chicos.
I'm shook by that. That makes me really upset. I love know. Topo Chico. I drink we do so like after work or whatever, we typically go out for a drink. And if it's not 3 a.m. And we get like shots of Fernet and Topo Chico because it's like easy to drink. Like it's like not as you're still like out there having a drink, but it's not like a shot and a beer where you're then drinking like double the alcohol. And right. I love Topo Chico. I'm sad that there's a shortage. That upsets
yeah.
me.
Right.
What am I going to
do? During the pandemic, like everybody realized Topo Chico was the best.
Was the business. And yeah. And now
it's too much.
Honestly, there are shortages of everything. I was talking to a liquor distributor at work and she works for companies, the company that like owns Hennessy, Moet, like all of these like big brands, Veuve, right? and they can't get champagne. They own the thing. They own it, and they can't get champagne right now.
Why?
They just like aren't distributing it. They're not making it as much. They're not distributing it. There's just like some shortage of something, or I don't know, like COVID. I think COVID has just messed with everything.
That's
the
crazy.
Demand might be higher. They can't keep up. Like, you know, they lost out on a year of production. So there's a whole lot of things it could be.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Well, those are the issues, guys.
Those are the hot issues, everybody.
Nothing else matters. Sparkling water and sparkling,
and sparkling wine. Everything
honestly
must be sparkling.
Yeah, pretty high on my list of priorities, both of those.
Yeah.
Can you, Paige, tell us about our Black Biz now?
Yes, I can. So this month we are featuring Happy Ice. Happy Ice is an ultra premium water ice product made from a secret recipe from Philadelphia with an artistic LA twist. It has the smooth, rich, creamy texture of an ice cream and the light, fruity refreshment of a sorbet without egg or dairy products of any kind for you vegans. The resulting combination is an incredibly delicious and vibrant explosion of colors and flavors that brings happiness to any situation. It's also vegan friendly, like I said, and contains no nut products, so nearly everyone can enjoy the incredible experience of Happy Ice. They have a retail store on Melrose in Los Angeles, and they are open from 12 to 8 p.m. And if you visit our website, there is a link to find a Happy Ice mobile truck, and you can also go to their website from our website. So if you're, you know, dying in that summer heat, y'all, get some Happy Ice. And they say, happy ice, happy life. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you so much. That was a beautiful presentation.
Thank you.
I do want to go there. It's been so hot here. So Happy Ice sounds like it would be a treat.
Yeah.
So get out there.
Get in there and tell everyone what it's like when you go. I wish I could go.
Yeah, I know. Come back. Come back to us.
I know. I need to come visit.
Great. So things that are happening this week, shall we start? Do we start with like good news or bad news? You know,
I feel like we start with good news, and the best news I found today, was that today is Meghan McCain's last day on The View. And I really just truly like, I saw it and I was like, ding dong, the witch is dead. Cause I hate her. I can't just, I despise
yeah, no,
that woman.
She's the worst.
Do y'all watch The View?
I mean, when I'm home with my mom watches The View, but Meghan McCain got so bad that my mom was like, I don't think I can watch this anymore. Like, she was just so upsetting. And it was just like, I don't know. That's why I'm kind of wondering, like, yes, Meghan McCain's gone, but I feel like they're going to bring on somebody who's just as obnoxious.
Maybe.
For ratings.
What's the rumor? What's the rumor on the next person?
I don't know. I honestly didn't know she was leaving until today. So I'm not like super up on The View gossip, but I've just seen her like The View rant so many times.
Yeah.
You know, all of those like interesting makeup and hair choices. You know, just I'm just really ready for her to not be so relevant and in the like topic, like let her just go be John McCain's daughter and get out of my living room.
Right.
So there's a rumor about the next host that the Daily Mail has reported on from last month.
All right. Who is it?
Debbie Matenopoulos. She was an original host back in the day. So.
All right.
That's a very safe pick, which maybe makes sense. Like kind of, if the audience is being turned off by some of the polarization, maybe you just get less polarized.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I'm not saying.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, not that you don't want to have conflicting opinions. I think that that's really healthy. And we should have honest debate and we should have honest conversations. But I think the Meghan McCain thing is that she played a victim too much probably, and also just wasn't fully caught up on the issues she was discussing. So it felt like she was not being authentic on mm-hmm. her side. Is that correct? Kind of, is that what I've been hearing? You know, like you just don't feel like she's really being
and she's truthful... just, she's just like the, she's like a very entitled conservative white woman. And like, that's just the brand. And like, that's just the view. I mean, that's just not really what, like, if she wants to work, she can go work on Fox News. Like that's what, that's where yeah. people want her. Like that's where people go to watch people just, you know, conservative white women sit and bitch about how hard their life is. Like that's what they want. So like I personally just, she just always has this way of truly playing the victim in most situations and making like things about her or like, you know, I can't stand this woman. I'm so glad to have her leaving and have her opinions less relevant to the like daily Twitter conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. She was definitely very all lives matter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the type of person who would say like Black Lives Matter was actually like racist mm-hmm. and exclusionary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, that type of person. And it would annoy my mom at least. Cause again, my mom is the one who really watches it. So I would just listen mm-hmm. to her complain about The View. That it seemed like she was free to like say all of these crazy things and kind of attack the beliefs of the other host. But then as soon as like Whoopi goes off on her, then Whoopi gets in trouble and like has to apologize.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
You know, and she was just like, yeah. No, that's not fair. She's always attacking people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I remember when Reverend Raphael Warnock was elected, he went on The View like the day of that he won. And everyone's like super excited. And then you just see like Meghan McCain in her little square sitting up there, like all stank faced. And she was like, well, you know, like, can you reassure the conservatives of that, like watch this show like me, that you're not going to like pack the courts and like do all these things. So like the entire time she was going off on him about this, I was like, you don't pay attention. Like, you mainline Fox News and listen to the things that they are like spewing out. So like, I don't think that you then deserve to come and take your Fox News. Like, that's why I just say she belongs on Fox News, because her opinions are all of Fox News. So like, go and be in your little conservative bubble and leave it out of the mainstream cable television. Like,
well, and then, I mean, but on a producer level, I could also kind of see which this is not me disagreeing with you. I'm so happy she's leaving. But mm-hmm. I do think that there is some merit in like taking somebody out of Fox News land and plopping them into the real world and watching them have to like have to contend with like that's facts true. And that reality and things like true. That. And yeah. I mean, ideally, that sounds like it would be like nice to watch them squirm underneath it. But with her, which I think would become clear with a lot of them, is just that they actively reject reality and truth yeah, over yeah, and yeah. over again. And they're pretty tireless about it. Like, they are not mm-hmm. normal. I don't know how, like, other than like being actively brainwashed, it's truly impressive to watch somebody just like be proven wrong over and over again in different ways about different things, and then still be like, well, liberal mainstream media, yeah. there you like, go again.
Facts. Like, with like actual facts. Like you're like, no, this is an actual fact. You're like, this cup is gray, I promise you. And they're like, I don't know, man. It's blue to me. It's my yeah. opinion that it's blue. And you're yeah. like, it's gray.
No, they're like, well, that's your reality. Yeah. Those are your alternative facts.
I can have my opinions and you like, can have yours.
No.
You can have yeah. opinions, but you can't have opinions about facts. I'm sorry.
It's
well, I think too, it's like it seems like a lot of what's happening, the show is called The View, which is supposed to be like a person's point of view. And ideally that person's point of view is not just a propaganda talking point from one news source. And I feel like the conversation on that show has turned into that, where it's like one group is making educated opinions based off of multiple news sources. Then one group or person is just a narrative from a CEO who wants ratings, period.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The Murdoch family just wants ratings. And then that becomes truth because it's on the news, but it's not really the truth. And that's not now even educated opinion or even someone's point of view. It's actually a regurgitated POV from propaganda.
Yeah.
And so it's important to have a conversation, but if it's just, you know, reiterating something that's not even based on fact as your opinion, now that's not really a point of view. Instead, it's nice to have maybe a very, you know, have an intelligent Republican who doesn't identify as a Trumpist, who reads the New York Times, who watches Fox, but also has their own POV and has had their own career and has their had their own thoughts before, and isn't just a name of a politician. And mm-hmm. that person could easily come on the show and be interesting and have, they can take all of this information and then through their lens, be able to explain that viewpoint as opposed to just be propaganda. I think Meghan McCain has shown that's what she is. And I think Elizabeth Hasselbeck was no different. Another yeah. kind of troll for the right wing media. And I don't think you want that on the left side either.
Yeah. No, I don't want definitely
don't. I don't want any trolls.
But that was the good news. That was part of the good news.
Yeah. So I think we go good.
We sandwich it.
We got good. Bad, that's good. What I was going to say. I was going to say that.
So, all right. Exactly. Hot off the presses and bad news. Andrew Cuomo is inappropriate in a lot of different ways.
But is that even news at this point? Didn't we know this?
I didn't know this. I didn't know that he was. I mean, I assumed that he wasn't great. I think that that is just me assuming that of many
men, of
white
men.
Male, especially
men
old
in power
politicians. Because the older ones, especially, they came from that time where they could like get away with just so much. Mm-hmm. So a mm-hmm. lot of them still have those behaviors left over that they haven't learned.
Did anyone like read the article or like the report or anything like that? I have not had a chance to read like the findings of this investigation. Could either of you give me a quick little synopsis?
So I have not read the whole synopsis. I did read this morning of the newest of the 11. And she is, yeah, there's 11 women.
11. Oh my God.
11 who have come forward. This one still currently works in the office. So she is obviously remaining very, very anonymous, but is calling herself executive assistant number one. And she said that he has grabbed her butt multiple times in like photos and like, you know, where people put their arms around you and you're taking a photo, he'll slide down. And that like at some event there was even like he reached down her blouse and grabbed her breasts and things. It's a lot of like fondling and molestation and just from what I read. So
my jaw is on the floor. That is, I mean, like a reach down the shirt. Like that's where we're at, Andrew.
Yeah, a reach down the shirt is pretty bold. I'm like, how did you even? So a reach down the shirt makes me feel like, are we in public? Like, did nobody?
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I think another part of the nightmare of this is that sometimes these women are in public and just no one does anything because he's the guy in charge, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Am I?
Yeah. Frozen? My mom and I, when we were talking about this, oh, you were for a second, but are you back? I thought it was me.
Yeah, I am. I made a mistake and tried to click on a link and I should never do that while we're recording.
I did that too. And then I was like, oh no, I'm breaking up.
Yeah.
But my mom and I were talking about this for just a second. She called me and she was like, did you see these allegations? They're all coming through. And my mom just said, you know, men have to reconcile with the fact that they walk into a conference room with women and they like, you know, immediately are like, who am I going to sleep with in this room? Or how can I look in this room and like, Who can I date? Who can I look at as a sexual object instead of as a person? And, you know, all these things. And women don't do that. Like women go into a room because we haven't been taught to objectify men as a society. We've been taught to objectify women. And I'm not saying that like every guy that walks into a, you know, a conference room does this, but I think that there's a more pervasive group of powerful men that see women as objects, excuse me, instead of just like as people. And that is what this like real, that's like the root of this issue, of this continual issue, is that women are just seen as objects to conquer, or, you know, like we're tits and ass like all day. Yeah. So, I mean, good. Good for him. Honestly, this isn't even bad news to me. It's bad news to me that he, you know, did that to these women and that they've had to go through that. But it is good news to me that he has been caught.
It's good news that he's been caught. It's good news that, like, so many people, including President Joe Biden, have come out to be like, resign.
Yeah, like just go.
Resign. Go
just
away.
Just resign. Just walk away, man.
He has not. He still is saying, so he said, I want you to know directly from me that I never touched anyone inappropriately or made inappropriate sexual advances. So that has been his position. And that is, from what it seems, what he is sticking to. I am going to read a little bit about, because you were asking for like some insight. So the office found that Cuomo harassed current and former state employees, as well as a number of women outside of the state government. As the office released a lengthy report on investigation, Attorney General Letitia James, said that her investigation found that Cuomo engaged in unwelcome and non-consensual touching and made comments of a suggestive sexual nature, and created a hostile work environment for women. And it said that his behavior was not limited to members of his own staff, but extended to other state employees, including a state trooper on his protective detail, as well as members of the public. Ew. The attorney general's report states. So it said that we also conclude that the executive chamber's culture, one filled with fear and intimidation, while at the same time normalizing the governor's frequent flirtations and gender-based comments, contributed to the conditions that allowed the sexual harassment to occur and persist. So, kind of like what I was saying, like, yeah, they could have been in public, like with, like at an office-wide celebration, and this happened, and people were just like, well, there's Cuomo again doing what he does.
Right. It's like Harvey Weinstein. Like people always know, and they protect men in power for whatever reason, and I don't understand. I just don't get it. Like, why? Why are they the most like protected group of people?
I don't know.
You know, like I'm like, clearly we're at a loss for words about it. Like, why is it that white men, especially white men in power, are probably the group that needs the least amount of protecting, but are protected to the highest, I was going to say to the highest bidder, but that doesn't make sense. But like, they are protected at the highest level all the time. And the people around them do that protecting. I just don't understand it.
Well, I guess to kind of think about it with regard to like, let's use our ex-president and Andrew Cuomo, right? You have two people that if they say no, right? No, I'm innocent, or I'm not going to resign, or no, I'm, these are all lies. Mm-hmm. Then it's the onus on the system to then do its thing. And the system to do its thing doesn't, first of all, is slow, isn't a guarantee that it will remove anyone from anything or charge anyone with anything, especially when it comes to like a criminal charge. Mm-hmm. So what you can do if you are a person that just wants to die on the hill of, I am innocent and these people are liars, technically, right? That's kind of the hill they're all dying on. It's not like I am a serial groper or serial rapist, right? It's I didn't do any of that, or they wanted it, or it was consensual, right? Then the system has to remove them because they are in a position where they have to be removed by a larger system, whether it's Congress into the Senate, right? The House to Senate for a president. Or in Andrew Cuomo's case, he has a house that can also vote to remove him, which they may, you know, very well may do. But that's why they can do what they do versus, let's say, a celebrity, where if something happens where it's like they become a pariah for an action they still deny, then the audiences could say, we don't want to watch this person on screen, so therefore you shouldn't hire this person. They can get pushed away forever. And they have. Some have. But when it comes to politicians, it's absurd. But they have so many protections in place that it requires a lot of things to happen to remove them if they are willing to go all the way there. Don't forget Al Franken, the senator, when he had the image come out where he was pre-senator, I'm pretty sure, right? Pre-Senator Al Franken. Pre-Senator Al Franken, there's a picture of him with a correspondent next to him who's asleep, and he's mocking a boob grab of her as a joke in a photo while she's sleeping. That picture got out. She was extremely upset about this photo. He was really embarrassed by this and actually stepped down as a senator for not touching her, not doing any of those things. But it was something that he felt as a person, he could not be.
It was in the, it was like right during like the beginning of the Me Too movement. And it kind of felt like every second, like men, I think, honestly, I think that he was like, I'm not going to be another man that like denies that this is wrong. And that like, he was like, I'm just out. Like, I'm just, my bad. I shouldn't have done that. That's wrong. It's disrespectful to women, whatever. And he knew that it would like, I feel like he knew that him staying would hurt the movement more than like him leaving. Cause like Al Franken was a great, he was a great senator. Like he was really progressive. He was awesome. But I think that he just knew that like after this, his presence would taint everything. And so he was just like, bye, you know, like, I actually really, I respect him a lot for doing that.
I do too, but also I don't think he should have. Looking back on the politics as we look at it, it's like, look at Matt Gaetz still in office as a congressman. Look at all of these horrible people that stick around that should be probably arrested.
Well, that's the problem, right? Did. Is that like the bad people will stick around. The bad people are like, I'm not, you know, fuck you, they're pointing out that I did something wrong. You know, it sucks. It's almost like to keep good people in politics, you have to be like, but like, be okay with doing a couple bad things. Cause if you're not, then we're going to be left with people who are only okay with doing everything bad.
Well, and that's also the, to me, that's the greatest divide between the left and the right as we sit today. Like there, if you like, really, when you think about it, right? Like we have when like the impeachment was happening after the insurrection, right? We had this group of like awesome impeachment managers, and they aren't sharks though. They do everything by the book. They do, you know, like they go in, they did what they wanted to do. They could have had this like elongated trial where we had witnesses and we called things and everyone was up. I was so excited. There were going to be witnesses. We were going to do this trial. And then, you know, they had a small recess and they came back and they were like, well, you know what? We're just going to put the witness testimony into the case, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Republicans wouldn't have done that, right? I mean, Mitch McConnell straight up blocked a Supreme Court justice months before and then pushed one through within weeks before an election because he had the power. And that to me is the difference, but that also to me is the difference between good and evil. And I don't think every Republican is evil, but I think that there is, right? Like evil is just doing whatever you want with no consequences because you don't care about the consequences. But goodness, you do care about the consequences and you understand them. So you work in a way and you move and act in a way that is aware of those consequences because you care about those.
But if your plan is to ensure your political party has power because you're doing things for good, right? Your tax plan, your healthcare plan, your whatever plan is more important than an individual who may have had one transgression or even multiple transgressions, but their vote, okay? Their vote is so important that will, in their minds, be used for good. Then isn't it important to maintain that status quo of that person in office to vote on behalf of the plans that are good for what you believe in for your policy?
Yeah.
Right. No, so in some ways, it's like protecting the party and the voting is bigger than maybe the 5, 10, 20, even 100 people that you may have affected. If you're voting on policy that's going to affect 320 million people, isn't that a more important cause? And I swear to you, the Republican Party feels that as long as they vote for their things that they want them to vote for, they can do no wrong.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And the Democrats don't have that same end game. They're like, no, 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 you have to go and we have to be moral and morally higher than others and we have to do this. And then you end up losing a senator and you lose a vote and you don't get Garland in and now you don't have a Supreme Court that can protect certain things. And what? How useless is that? That's you now lost, you know, Roe v. Wade may be gone. Voting rights are gone because mm-hmm. you let Al Franken resign. Whoops.
Yeah.
How stupid is that? I'm just saying that's if you look at how the Republican Party plays.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're not winning. I'm not saying that they're not winning, but I'm also saying that, like, I don't know. I hope that one day that they stop winning like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like call me an ignorant what's that called? Not a pessimist, an optimist. But like that's, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, like, I want some sharks, but I also like I've always been really proud of the Democratic Party's ability to kind of like be like, no, that's still bad. Like, even though they are, you know, they're a Democrat and we, you know, love them, but that's still bad. We still don't like that. Cause I think it's absolute insanity that Republicans can't do that to each other. Like, that they are truly incapable of being like, that Republican did something bad. Like that guy that was, he was running for a Republican seat. I don't remember where, but he had like a history of having sex with kids and they were like, no problem. It's all good. You're going to vote the way we want you to. And like, that to me is just absolute insanity that people just don't care about that they just don't see through that. So I am still like, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Like, obviously Al Franken resigning over that photo had more consequences and more repercussions than the photo did. But like, I still also do think that the timing of all of that coming out had a huge part in his resignation, because it happened, I think, in like 20, when was that? Like 2017, which was like the height of the Me Too movement starting. And so I think that, like, you know, I think he just felt like it was the better choice to not fight it and step down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, politics is a war, you know, and you have to know your enemy. And I think the Democratic Party we are struggling to figure out how to win the war. We have a faction within our political movement called the Progressive Party. And I feel like we should move on to Cori Bush and what she was able to accomplish, because that's a huge win for the progressives, as well as the Democrats, as well as the nation in general. Who wants to talk
Casey,
about that?
You talk about
Casey.
That's what am I talking about?
The good news is Cori
Bush. Sorry, I'm like doing other
Black. Our favorite Bush.
We're still doing that. I know.
Our favorite Bush.
Yes. Honestly, the only Bush that I like. Although George W. probably would have been fun to hang out with in college.
Ew.
I just feel like he'd be good at beer pong, you know? And I'm a really big fan of beer
George
pong.
George W. Bush? You think George W. Bush is good at beer pong?
Yeah. You don't?
No.
I imagine him being like beer pong champ.
No. I just watched this documentary on conversion therapy on Netflix called Pray Away. And it talks about like Prop 8 and everything like that. And it like brought all my negative feelings back up for George W. Bush.
Oh, God.
I was like, okay. Oh, wait, I hate him.
To be fair.
He's not funny at all.
Yeah,
he's terrible. He's not great. He's not great. He hates the gays. It's fine.
Well. Back to anyway. Cori Bush. they were taking away the words just left me as soon as I started talking about this. So excuse me for all the it's happening. The improper phrasing that's probably going to happen as I try to explain this. But the eviction moratorium, is that the right word?
Yep.
Was, you know, being lifted. It was going to expire. And so all of these people were going to get evicted from their homes. And Senator Cori Bush, and Congress was taking recess. They were taking a recess for August. And she was so upset that they were taking this recess, and when they still hadn't figured out how to save people from being evicted from their homes, she was so upset that they were going on recess without having figured that out, that she decided that she was going to camp out on the steps of the Capitol in order to, like, you know, in protest of the recess. Like, she didn't want a recess until they sorted this out. And so she did that. She called her girls. She called AOC
plus three.
Absolutely. To come back and protest with her. And over the next couple days, more and more people joined them. They were not allowed to lay down because that is against Capitol rules. So they had to sit there. So they had chairs. And then eventually they were barred from even using their chairs. So they had to either sit on the ground or stand. But they stayed there. I want to say it was a total of 5 days.
Yeah.
I think it was 5.
I think so.
And then the Biden administration decided to extend, in certain areas, extend the eviction moratorium until October 2nd. So it was just such a huge win for these. She's a junior senator, right? I believe she's a junior.
She's a freshman senator. She just got elected. Or she's not a senator. She's a House representative. But she's freshman.
There was something that she actually said. She was saying, Ayanna Pressley and AOC joined her. Invited blah, 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 House and Senate colleagues. No one thought this would work. We were junior House members, activists, neighbors, and people passing by engaged in a movement we couldn't yet comprehend. Yet in just 5 days, our movement pulled out a victory from the most powerful office in our country. So the Biden administration announced a new eviction freeze that would help Americans in places experiencing high spread of COVID-19 cases, which is the majority of counties in the U.S. through October 3rd. And she has a really beautiful video where she's just talking about, like, how her heart went out to all of these people. It was like, it was a familiar feeling when she was being released from the chambers on that day, knowing that they hadn't fixed this because she's been evicted before. And she has kids, and she's like, I've been in that place where I had to sleep in my car with my kids. I've been in the place where you're like left out in the cold and wondering how and where you're going to use the bathroom and what's legal and where can I legally be and am I going to get arrested? And I just have nowhere else to go, you know? So it was like all of that trauma came back up for her, you know, and she wondered who, and when she was in those situations, she wondered who could help her, like who was making the decisions that allowed this to happen. And she was like, and here I was in the seats where people really make those decisions and we're going to go on recess. No.
Yeah. That's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that they went on recess. Like, I feel like
maybe it's me, but I feel like Congress stay going on recess. I'm like, y'all not going to figure out. You're not going to give us this, y'all, I don't have words anymore. What is it called when they give us money when we need it?
A stimulus.
Thank you.
Yeah, I lost my words.
I lost them. They immediately went away. Okay. But yeah, when they kept like not figuring out the stimulus agreement and like there were so many reasons. I was like, why do we keep going on recess? What are we doing? What are we doing? We need help.
I don't know. Yeah.
We can't go on a recess from these bills. That's not going on recess. Okay. So where are you?
You know what? I'm going to go on recess next. I'm going to be like, listen, I can't.
Right.
I'm
it would be helpful if all of if our financial situations went on recess when they did. Like, it's like you have to pay nothing while we're on recess. That would be amazing.
Ooh, no taxes.
No
like
taxes
that.
While we're on recess.
Idea. No taxes while the government's on recess.
Yeah. Fun. Rent's not due until we're finished with our recess.
Fun.
Well, one of the things that was interesting with regard to this is that I see a lot of people who are defending landlords, like this, you know, landlords need to get paid because obviously landlords can be as big as giant global international corporations and as small as a, you know, someone that owns one home and needs to get paid. But the issue actually is that because it's so slow to get funds to everybody, that the moratorium ending actually was bad for multiple reasons, but a lot of states haven't had access yet to the funding to pay these landlords. So not only would it have been a bad idea, because all of a sudden it's like, okay, now you haven't paid for a year and a half, so you owe $50,000, let's say. It's like, well, shouldn't the government have passed laws to give money to pay for these people's back rent?
Yeah.
So it would have done, it would have basically gotten in the way of that funding too, to like get it to the people.
When do the landlords get that funding? Like, what are we waiting for?
It's just, it's slow. The states have to then apply for it. They have to get it, and they have to do distribution of the funds. This takes time.
I mean, because so, even though they extended it, it's only extended until October 2nd. It's not like,
right?
You know.
But I saw a tweet, and obviously, who knows? I don't trust anything on Twitter, to be honest. But like, someone's like, "Oh, I got an eviction notice. I owe my landlord $65,000, or whatever." And it's like, one thing with that is like, well, how useless is that to evict someone if they owe you money?
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, this person obviously can't pay you 65 grand.
Right.
Right. But they probably could pay you 1 month at a time, or you could probably go to the government and ask for financial assistance. So I just feel like the delay is going to help people who do owe money be able to get the funding to pay a lot of their back rent. Cause that was the whole point of this, not to have rent free forever. Like that's not fair in whatever fair is, right? Like living, landlords deserve to be paid by somebody.
Sure.
By someone. So it just, but this was like a chance to like extend that while everyone got the money. So these people weren't evicted and then got paid. Like that's the worst thing that could happen is person owes 60 grand, 5 grand, 500, whatever dollars. They get evicted. A week later, the money comes and pays off their debt. And now the landlord can get a new, person in for a higher rent. That's shady. That's what you want.
Well, I guess
to avoid.
I don't understand
what Cori Bush did.
I guess I don't understand what this is, because does this mean that like when the moratorium does lift, I keep feeling like I'm saying that word wrong. Am I saying the right word?
Yeah, you're doing right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your validation.
Yes.
So when this does finally lift, these people owe all this rent that they haven't been able to pay for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. Because why is that helpful? That's not helpful.
It's not helpful.
It should be forgiven.
It's just not helpful.
It should be forgiven. You know, like the government should be supply. Like if you're going to put a moratorium on rent, then like moratorium it, kill it. It's dead. Like, I don't want to
moratorium it. It does sound like that, doesn't it?
I mean, I feel like the root word is something that has to do with death. Like we've got more, which is deathy, and then like more.
We have more, which is like deathy. It's like a deathy root of a word. I mean, I think personally, if we're going to run around and talk about how unprecedented the times are, that we're going to have to make some unprecedented moves financially for people, because people have been unable to work, like truly unable to do stuff for a year plus. And who knows with the Delta variant what's going to happen. Like, P.S. get vaccinated. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I just think that I'm frustrated to hear that like, oh, well, you know, it's just we've never done this before. And you're like, yeah, you haven't. Fix it. Like people are struggling. People don't have money. So you can give people these eviction notices, but then what? Then what do they do? Like, now we just got an excess of unhoused people, which we already don't know what to do with. We already have such a large unhoused population. So then now we're just going to, double it? Then what? So then what's your solution with that? Like, to me, the government needs to pick the problem that they really want to solve. And I find that they could just throw some more money at it. We've already been doing it. Throw some more money at these people, help them. And then we don't have another like huge another influx of unhoused people.
Yeah.
Cause we already have that.
We have such a giant influx, and I honestly don't know where the people would go. Like, I just feel like LA streets would be overrun with unhoused people.
And also, you know? and it would be unhoused children, unhoused, I mean, families, like people who are just struggling. It wouldn't just be like our friendly addict on the street. Like it would be families
Yeah. Now, no, I feel like it already is. Like, the unhoused population is very different, looks very different now than it used to. I'll say that. And some of their structures that they're building are really impressive. Like,
yeah,
I don't know about anybody else, but I have passed some unhoused, like, tenements.
Some tarp situation. You're like, whoa.
That are like, is that like a plant? Like, there was like a plant hanging down. Like, it was like a little green room situation. Yes. It had like an entrance. It was like, okay, that. Architecture. Somebody pick this person up. They're talented. Hey, this person. yeah, but it's just the culture of it just feels and seems very, very different.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I was going to an audition in Venice, and I had to park my car next to, like, this kind of, like, unhoused structure situation. And I remember seeing the guy, and he looked like it was a very new thing. But that he was, like, making the best of it. And then I was getting out of my car, and he was like, oh, let me get my bike out of your way. And I was like, oh, no, you're fine. It was like, he was like my neighbor. You know, that's what the conversation felt like. It was just like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to put that in your lawn. You know, it's just a very different kind of thing. And it's so sad. And I just don't know what we're going to do, you guys. The next year of our lives is going to be very, very interesting.
I think sorry, Zach, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just think that I wish personally that for once our government would choose to help the many instead of helping the people that hold more money, right? Like the landlords in these situations. And I agree, like, landlords need help with this as well. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
But if we can help all of the people that are going to be facing evictions and do these things, then it also in turn helps the landlords. But if we only help landlords, then there's going to be people on the street. If we help, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I just think we always, our government always chooses to bail out the more successful, quote unquote, financially stable people when those aren't really the people I think that need help. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's important to, like, look at all of this stuff from the perspective of, like, what can help the most with hurting the least, right? Because it's not always easy to make the right decision when it comes to something like rental assistance or evictions, right? Mm-hmm. It's one thing if the government said, okay, we're just going to pay everybody's rent who qualifies, period, start from the top, which would have been a great decision. Just do that. Then the landlords never have an issue, which they shouldn't. Landlords,
which is, what I was hoping was happening.
So I've been looking up this stuff right now, and, like, there are ways for you to apply for rental assistance if you are a landlord to get access to the capital. But apparently there will always be people who are trying to avoid paying if they want, right? And so there will be people who are misusing things like this. I would like to say that I do feel that when the moratorium expires, which it should, and people should pay if they can't afford their rent. This doesn't make sense to me just to live for free. And you guys don't agree with that either. That we can get some sense of, like, normalcy back, where the government can provide for those who need it. And for those who don't, should pay what they owe because they can't afford it. And it shouldn't be the government's responsibility. But I do think that it is scary to think about what could happen if the system fails. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't quite yet failed because we have these eviction moratoriums in place where you can't be kicked out. But you're right. Like, it is a scary thought of, like, well, what if we thought it would be a soft landing and it wasn't that many people, but let's say all of a sudden it is, what do we do? And it is scary to think about that. So I'm hopeful that everybody can win. Which is, the landlords get paid. They don't need to kick people out. Those who didn't pay are making enough money to pay what they owe slowly, right? Because that would be a massive, massive problem that I think we've failed miserably in this country for centuries, which is unhoused populations. That's, like, our number one, I think, most embarrassing thing about the United States, that and healthcare. So, yeah, I'm pretty nervous about it, but I'm hopeful that states can support and get through it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just hope that people will supply the support that is needed, because more than likely, if you couldn't, like a moratorium on rent, I could have applied for things where my rent would have been covered. I didn't, because I was blessed enough to have a job throughout this whole time and I could pay my rent. But I'm thinking about people who actually could not pay their rent because they could not work, and who are kind of just now slowly coming into the workforce, then trying to recover from a year and a half of near financial ruin, and then being like, and also you owe thousands of dollars back to this, you know, I feel like it hurts the people who are already hurting the most, which is why mm-hmm. I'm saying that I feel like there should be some sort of almost like loan forgiveness, you know, like it's like, hey, you, because that sounds terrifying to be put in such crippling debt the moment that you're trying to still get your footing after being in financial devastation for over a year. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't even say I'm sure, because a lot of the time we talk about these things and I'm like, nobody's dealing with this, but I hope that somebody smarter than me on a governmental level is figuring something out for that portion of the population, and not the people necessarily, because Zach, I see what you're speaking to, like not the people who were maybe in my situation, but then still chose to like not pay rent just because, you know, not paying rent is dope.
It's nice.
But like,
nice
yeah.
to not pay rent.
But yeah, I don't know. And I feel encouraged by the presence of people like Cori Bush and Ayanna Pressley and AOC, who are clearly mm-hmm. looking out for this community.
Jamal so Bowman.
Just, yeah.
Jamal.
I love hats him. Off. Garters in the air. I don't know. For
Casey,
for them.
Casey flashing you.
I mean, I'm going to take it off of my leg. I don't know. I'm going to just take it off my leg and then throw it in the air. I feel like hats off is very male. I don't know. It
feels
like
fuck that.
I was trying to think of like a female, you know, thing that
garters off. I love that.
Like, yeah, garters off. in my head, just like a sea of top hats and garters went into the air, and it feels very celebratory.
It's very Moulin Rouge. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, thank you. I think my head kind of lives there. Like, that's where I live in my own head. Anyway,
she's Baz Luhrmann. Absolutely. Anyways,
I want to work with Baz Luhrmann so
yes,
bad.
I want that.
If
for
you're
you.
Out there.
I want that for you.
I'm available for
Baz. Hi, are you listening? Are you listening to our podcast?
So. I think that's everything that we wanted to cover today.
Yeah.
Let's end on something that we're excited about in the next week.
Okay.
Me.
I'll go.
It's always, you. Good. You.
I'll go. You. Yeah. I am having a housewarming party on Sunday because I moved into a new house, and we got really lucky with this house. It's like, it's in this really lovely area. I look like I live in like some little suburban cute place. I live with two kitties and two lovely ladies, and it's just been really fun so far. And it's nice to like have a space that's our own. And this house is just like unreal. So I'm really excited about it, and I'm excited about our little housewarming party on Sunday.
I'm so excited for you. I wish I could be there. You have to tell us when it's okay to come visit.
Yeah. I mean, it's always okay to come visit. You can come now.
I mean,
come tomorrow. Come the next day.
Hijit has a birthday coming up, so she also has to tell us eventually what she plans to do for her birthday.
I do have a birthday, yes.
Wiz, you ready?
I'm excited to finish up this film. I'm excited to get a bit of normalcy back in my life, which is great, but also it's bittersweet. But I am excited to have a bit more free time and get my mental and physical strength back.
Yeah.
It's been a grind, but it's been awesome. And I'm excited to also the football season is beginning again. So I love football. So I'm very excited about that.
I have a bunch of friends coming to see my show on Monday, and that's always super fun when you have a big group like that come to see it. So, and also we had this past weekend off of the show, so it's like the longest I've been away from it since we started rehearsal. So I'm just excited to hop back on stage tonight, and totally excited to have so many people come and support on Monday. So that'll be really fun.
I love that. That makes me excited.
Yeah.
I wish I could come see your show.
I know. I wish I could see your house.
I mean...
That's true. Invent teleportation, Elon Musk. What are you doing?
Yeah, okay. Stop going to space for 2 seconds and fucking invent Help something that's usable.
Great. Thank you guys for listening. As usual, like, comment, rate, subscribe, and share. We didn't roast Alaska, but like at this point,
you know what? We can't do it every time. It's too much. It's too much. Alaska, we missed you. We missed your opinions.
Yeah, we miss your energy.
I always miss your opinions.
Our Aquarian queen.
Miss her. We need her.
Yeah.
We need that water. Air? What is she?
Air. We're both air.
Oh, you're both air. Well, yeah, gosh, we're a mess. We need some water in this group.
I know. All right. Okay, bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.